This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. Hey, Jeffrey, are you happy?
In the middle of a move is probably not the best time to ask, but yeah, yes. In general, I would say yes.
Well, I ask because the happiness index is out.
Of course,
the World Happiness Report is out. Where do you think the USA ranks in the World Happiness Report? I need a number.
What I'm going to say like 17.
We're number 23. Interestingly,
you took away my range.
Oh, I should have given you a range.
No, I was going to give a range somewhere between 15 and 25.
Well, we are happier than Germany, France, Singapore,
okay,
Mexico. They're at 24, 27, 30, and 25 respectively. Spain's at 36. We're happier than Spain. But as we traditionally do with the World Happiness Report, Jeffrey, not sufficiently content to have you win Writer Than Right Trivia yesterday and reinstitute your winning ways, mm-hmm. I'm going to need you to guess the five happiest countries in the world. And
Finland?
What?
Finland?
Finland's won, of course. That's a power.
That's back-to-back.
Finland's
back-to-back,
the Alabama of happiness, you know? The old Alabama.
Right.
Before DeBoer. Imagine that Kalen DeBoer became the prime minister or president of Finland. You know? I'd be a little less happy, wouldn't they?
Was Finland the one with the young prime minister? The hot one, but she also really liked, like, club drugs.
Was that Finland?
Pretty sure that was Finland.
Finland's the one that just sent the pandas back to China. They got their priorities straight.
They returned
too much trouble. What you should do. Remember the woman who like said how to reorganize your house. Like you should only.
What was her name?
Macundo or Kawundo or.
She was an exquisite blowhard.
Anyway, she was not Marie.
Yes, she was
Marie.
She loved.
To find your name, it'll be Spark Joy. If you put in things that spark joy, type that into Google and her name will come up. It's Marie
Kondo.
Kondo. Yeah. So, okay. There you go. I was close. As a country, that's how they do it. They're like, do these pandas spark joy? No, they don't spark joy. I'm going to send them back. Only keep the things in your country that spark joy or in your closet. Whatever. Either way, that's now that you're moving, I bet you wish you only had things that had sparked joy because you got to move all that other crap, don't you?
There's two people in the house.
How's that going?
It is going. And one thing I think that...
You haven't even been in that house for that long. I've been in a house since 2009, and lots of people have been in a house since the 1990s, and they're going to have to move all their crap someday.
Right, but we... Like, we got married in that house. We've had a kid in that house.
And wedding
like,
presents.
It's been a lot of...
Yes, yeah, there's stuff comes
it's,
in.
It's been a lot of...
Kid stuff comes in. All right, you got number one, and anything else is... But who do you think else is in top five? Top five happiness.
All right. It's always Scandinavia. Like, give me, like, Sweden.
Sweden comes in at number four. I will tell you this. You will not get all five. Even if I gave you 10 guesses, you will not get all five, but you could easily get four. on the current theory.
Switzerland?
No, no, no. Switzerland's 9. Top 10.
All right,
10.
Top 10 is not bad. All right, so then we'll knock out. I was trying to get it. We'll knock out the Scandinavians. Give me Denmark.
Denmark's 2.
Okay.
Denmark's 2. Denmark's like the Georgia of happiness, you know? Finland's 1. Denmark's 2.
All right, give me Norway.
Oh, 7. Sorry. Sorry.
All right, you said this one last year, so it's popping up in my mind. I would not have gotten it, but I remember this from last year. Israel.
That's the one I didn't think you'd get, but you have a memory.
You did this. We did this last year.
We do it every year.
Because we were like, wait. Yeah,
well, okay, you would think it would be a little less happy these days.
That was our big question. Was like, was this pre-war? Was this post-war?
This is very clearly post-war.
But I'm saying last year. Yeah. Last year we didn't know what was the time frame that counted.
This wasn't just like, there were events yesterday that might have bumped their happiness, but this was not, I don't think it included what happened yesterday. So. But Israel's at 5. You've gotten Finland at 1, Denmark at 2, and Israel at 5. Your incorrect guesses are very good incorrect guesses. Norway at 7 and Switzerland at 9.
Oh, what was the other? Last year, because I'm remembering from last year. Iceland.
Iceland is 3. Very good. My God. And so you're missing just one. Just one. Scandinavian country.
I thought I already cleared out.
No.
Denmark, Sweden,
Finland.
No, you
didn't say Sweden. Did you say Sweden? Oh, well, then we got Sweden. Oh, so we got them all then. Finland 1, Denmark 2,
Iceland 3. We cleared out the...
Sweden 4, and Israel popping up at 5 to complete the top 10. Netherlands 6, Norway 7, Luxembourg, which is evidently a very wealthy country. They're all wealthy, let's be honest. 8, Switzerland 9, Austria, Australia. Mm-hmm. No.
I was going to say, I would be surprised
it's
if Austria.
Australia.
If Germany's down there, Austria's going to be down
there,
too.
On. Australia at 10, New Zealand at 11, Costa Rica at 12, Kuwait at 13.
Really?
Yeah, Kuwait breaks in. Canada's happier than we are. They're at 15. Belgium's at 16. Ireland's at 17. England's at 20. And so there you go, and on and on and on. So there's you go, the happiness index. We have we're very happy on the show today because we've got Jason Smith coming up in the next segment. And I see that it's his birthday tomorrow. How about that? Did you realize that? Jason Smith's birthday tomorrow. So we'll see what he is. We'll see what he is up to on his birthday. And then Chris Harrington, don't think it's his birthday tomorrow. He is going to join us straight up at 10 o'clock. Chris predicted the entire league today at the Daily Memphian. Piece up predicting the entire NBA standings and Rookie of the Year and MVP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk to Chris about all of that. And then we've got Jeffrey's bets. And we've been on an upswing, haven't we, Jeffrey?
Yeah, we haven't.
Are we back to 500?
We are back to 500. We're still...
The juice is still...
Right. We're still
below. We're still having to... Like $1,000.
We're still having to pay our broker.
It's a long season. It's a long season. And a massive week in college football. If you could just watch one game.
I think it has to be Georgia and
Texas. It's got to be Georgia, Texas, right?
Yeah. Because I think there's several reasons. Number one, I think it has the potential to be the best game. Number two, I am curious to know, like, this.
Which quarterback would you rather have?
I probably would have said Quinn until I watched last week. I mean, Beck is making mistakes. The problem I have is I'm still unclear if his mistakes are him or receivers. Because, like, he's had a couple of bad red zone picks, but it's like he's let the ball go early, like, thinking. It feels to me like he thinks someone's going to be in a place that they're not. But
he's the Aaron Rodgers of college football.
Yeah, except he does not throw his guys under the bus.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't tell you later. Right.
Quinn was pretty bad last week. Now, that's the other thing. It's like Quinn was pretty bad, and that game was never in doubt. But I have this question now. Are you aware of who the best offense, scoring offense, that Texas has played?
No.
Mississippi State.
Wow.
And we do not think of them as being a good team. So, because to me, it's like
what is real?
Like, eye test tells me Texas is on a different level. Because I mentioned to you, on Saturday, as awesome and as much as I enjoyed watching the Ohio State-Oregon game, the whole time I'm sitting there going, these guys aren't on Texas's level. But what if Texas is flexed so much more because they really just played really, really bad competition, and a couple of them have had nice jerseys, but we're going to find out.
And Alabama-Tennessee, what's your level of intrigue there?
I mean, it's always going to be interesting in the sense that it's going to be an awesome scene. We know the Tennessee fan base is going to get up for it. I, in the same way, I don't think Tennessee's offense is like clunky. I think Tennessee's offense might be like in trouble because of personnel, particularly in the offensive line.
What's interesting about that game? Lots of interesting things about that game. But we expected it to be a clash of titans and two playoff teams.
We thought it was going to be like just an absolute shootout.
Instead, there's the nerve-wracking, oh my God, if we lose.
Yes.
Like, we didn't think the loser of Alabama-Tennessee
would be out.
Would come out of that game worried about its ability to make the playoffs or anything else. We thought it would be just, oh, Titanic game. Both teams would probably be headed to the playoffs. Loser would probably go into the playoffs, etc. And now it has both the upside potential, like
sure.
and everything else, but it also has this, the loser is going to
really need like do some soul searching.
Well, and the losing fan base is going to be enraged now, like particularly if it's Alabama. But if it's Tennessee too, because this is Tennessee, at least Kalen DeBoer has the, oh, it's his first year, whatever else, excuse. If Tennessee loses this game, I think there's going to be some real unhappiness in the Vol fan base.
If Tennessee loses the game, though, it's still going to be much like we were talking about yesterday. For Ole Miss fans, the LSU game hurt, but the real reason the LSU game hurt like it did was because of the Kentucky game. The same thing would be true if you lose this Alabama game. There really isn't shame in this. Like you're losing, you're an underdog at home, but it's the Arkansas game that you're going to go back.
It creates this
for sure. Sense that's the way a season plays.
Yeah,
and I do think that you're right. One of these, I do think with the 12-team playoff, one of the additional tensions that we've added is this. You know, in the 4-team playoff, it was always. I think we've added more teams that could have that game in October where you're like, man, if we don't win this one, like, what's the rest of our season look like?
The playoffs are great in that if you make it and more teams make it, it's like making the Sweet 16, right? It's like,
sure,
you can run that up the flag. Someone on the station earlier in the week was saying, and it was in reference to Ole Miss, if you make the playoff, it creates momentum for your program, and you can build on that. Like, it is a statement thing. To make the playoff is a statement to make the playoff. And that's great. You can then build on it. You can say, we're a playoff team. You can recruit to it. You can excite your fans with it, all of that. It is very much like being a Sweet 16.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then the other problem is it does also create this. If you didn't make the 4-team playoff, or certainly back when it was a 2-team championship game, there was no shame in that. Maybe if you were Alabama, your fans would be enraged, but it's only 4 teams that make it. Now, if you don't make it, it's an indictment. For teams that consider themselves to be elite or national competitors, if you don't make the playoff, it's now a failure in a way that not making a 4-team playoff wasn't. Don't you think that's true?
Yes, I do. I mean, like, if Tennessee and Ole Miss don't make it, like, you know what I mean? Like,
season's a failure.
Yes, they went all in. I mean, now, if you're Tennessee, at least you do have our quarterbacks are freshmen.
Still young.
And we you can talk yourself into still building, whereas Ole Miss next year is going to have to, like, you know, there's a big rebuild. Reset.
All right, we'll do the picks. We'll do the picks in the second hour. Again, it's Jason, the early birthday boy, and then Chris Harrington, and then we will do Jeffrey's bets. Grizzlies close out their preseason tonight with a game against the Miami Heat. at FedEx Forum. And evidently, Jaron will not play, but Marcus Smart and Ja likely will play. I found myself, I had an interesting reaction. I just discovered my interesting reaction. I didn't choose it. I kind of wish Ja wasn't playing.
Cobb said the same thing yesterday.
I'm kind of to the point. I have never been a bubble wrap guy. That's not my, I'm the guy who says they're going to get hurt. Like when people wanted to put Zach Edey in bubble wrap this past summer, I'm like, you're going to be playing basketball anyway. Just play. You got to play. But it shows that subconsciously or whatever, I am so worried about Ja Morant and his breakability and how critical he is that I'm like, God, just don't play. I'm reflexively worried. I'm not worried about tonight. Yes, I'm more excited about tonight because you can see, presumably, Ja Morant and you can see Zach Edey, and it'll be great fun at FedEx Forum. Hell, a lot more fun for those people who are going down there, right? But it makes me realize I'm now worried about Ja Morant.
Yeah, I mean, I think also wrapped up into that is last preseason game. What does this mean? Like, I feel like I was telling Cobb yesterday. I'm just at the point like where whenever you're covering like a college football team and you're on the beat, when you get to like that third week of preseason camp, you're just like, just fast forward me to the season starting. Like none of this matters. Like none of it's like this is just them going through the motions again. The only spin zone I would say for playing him is I felt like he was very twitchy on the every time he landed wrong of thinking he's hurt.
Right.
I do think maybe go get a few more reps and like get a few more reps and say like, hey, you don't have to every time you hit the floor, you don't have to think that it's over.
For him or for you?
For him.
Oh, I see. For him. I do wonder if we ask the Memphis fan base, everyone has PTSD. There's no question about injuries generally.
I still don't know how you can go through a season like last year and not have some feeling.
And Ja specifically, everyone has PTSD. One of the interesting things about when I was reading Chris's preview today, and there's some surprises in his preview. He has Memphis fourth in the West at 50-42. I think fourth in the West. But he has them on a tier. Top tier is Boston and Oklahoma City. Okay? That's one tier. Second tier is the Mavs and the T-Wolves. Third tier, Knicks, 76ers, Cavs, Pacers, and Grizzlies. He has them on a tier ahead of Denver, Milwaukee, the Suns, the Warriors, and the Lakers. Now, the truth is that Chris's tiers were interesting because they weren't really just tiers also. They were also groupings of types of teams.
Yeah.
Right? And one of the things I want to explore with him is, does he really think the Grizzlies are on a tier ahead of them? Or does he think they're just shouldn't be in the grouping? Because the thing that unites Denver, Milwaukee, the Suns, the Warriors, and the Lakers is they have these superstars who are old. Or whatever, who they count on. They have these superstars.
Minus Denver.
He's not old. Yes. But
and I guess
they have these superstars and then a flawed roster for one reason or another around the superstars.
I think that's the better.
Right. That's the way to put it. He has a headline at whatever he calls them.
Big stars on creaky rosters.
There you go. Big stars on, and they creaky for different reasons.
Correct.
Denver is creaky for depth reasons. The Suns and
Unproven
Warriors.
Unproven supporting
whatever.
Casts for the most part, yeah.
But one of the interesting things is, the number of games that those quote-unquote creaky, some of those creaky players played last year is kind of astounding. Anthony Davis, 76. LeBron, 71. Steph, 74. KD, 76. Nurkic, 76. Jokic, 79. Michael Porter Jr., 81. And Aaron Gordon, 73. And a lot of those guys are, in fact, old and creaky. But I don't assume that Ja is going to hit any of those numbers. The lowest one of those numbers is 71, LeBron.
Yeah.
I will be astonished if Ja hits 71. Wouldn't you?
Yes, I very much would. I will also be astonished if all those guys hit their same threshold again.
Because they did it last year?
Exactly. There's a little of let me see you do that again. Anthony Davis playing 76 games again.
KD played 76 games last year.
Yeah.
And it's why there's no reason I would put, you know, particularly now, I like a lot of what the Suns did. They have a real point guard now. And so I would not put them on a tier below the Memphis Grizzlies.
I would.
But if you figure in age, availability, yep, et cetera. But let me ask you this. If you've got KD playing 76 games and Nurkic playing 76 games, you wouldn't put him on a tier below the Grizzlies in the regular season.
Well, what about Booker? And then I also think Beal's an absolute, like,
yeah,
anchor.
Yes, he's always been. He is an anchor. Anyway, interesting. So the Grizzlies will wrap things up tonight. And the fun thing is that next week we will actually be talking about Grizzlies regular season.
Games that actually count, not games that we're trying to tell ourselves they count.
Actually count. It will all actually matter. So that is fun. Last night we did have, I went to the second line. Do you ever go to the second line?
So it's funny, now that we've moved closer to that area, we were like, well, we can probably start going back to second line again.
Had the oyster po' boy.
Ooh.
Absolutely unbelievably good sandwich, the oyster po' boy. And games were on. And we had one absolutely sensational baseball game and one dog of a football game.
Well, and a dog of a baseball game with it.
And then a dog of a baseball game. But you've been asking for...
Give me play. Last night was awesome.
Give me.
As I was moving a ton of stuff from one house to another,
I mean, the last three innings of the Guardians Yanks game was about everything you could possibly want. From the Aaron Judge homer, the two strike call, Stanton's homer to give him the lead, then the big Christmas homer, pinch hit, two-run home run off Luke Weaver. Like, that was... It's like holy... It was a series of holy craps,
yes,
right?
And then, the crowd was awesome.
And the crowd was electric. And then you've got David Fry with the walk-off. I mean, that was...
That's not David Freeze. It's David Fry.
Everything that you want in postseason baseball. And now we also, if you want to talk yourself into it, we got a series.
Yes, that did also.
I don't know that it.
With the Guardians,
really believes
with the Guardians,
it.
That felt like.
This was it?
The heroic effort to get swept.
Yeah, I don't necessarily.
Now that's why we play. Like,
I don't necessarily believe we have a series,
yes,
but certainly numerically we have a series, and it beats the hell out of what's happening in the other series, where once again you were correct. The Dodgers were not dead when it was coming back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
They now lead 3-1 and can close out the Mets. Thoughts and prayers to GP today.
The big thing for me when you get into these series is look how hard it was for the Guardians just to win one. Like,
yes.
I always pay attention.
It took everything they had just to win.
Now, is Clay's going to let a lead go again? I don't know. But I also point this out. Like, if he is your best pitcher and part of you throwing him is you getting a lead, look how hard it was just to even get a lead.
Right. And then the football game.
I mean, the Saints are trying to get their coach fired, it looks like.
Well, there's two things with the Saints. The Saints, A, they're ridiculously injured. You know, they get no Olave, they got obviously no Derek Carr, they got no Taysom Hill, they got missing the offensive line plus shot. Like, there's injuries throughout the roster. And then it also looks like they quit. Like, it looks like, and it's funny, because Dennis Allen, going into the season, would have been atop anyone's hot seat list. People were mystified why he was coming back, right?
Yes.
And then they start 2-0, and you're like, hey, you people who were trying to get Dennis Allen fired.
Why don't 2-0, too?
Don't you feel dumb now?
Yeah.
But no, now they've lost five straight, and it looks like they're trying to get Dennis Allen fired.
I don't know if anyone was still watching at this point. There was a 4th-and-5 with, I don't know, 9-10 minutes left. Game's decided. And Rattler ends up checking it down to Kamara.
Uh-huh.
And it's possible Kamara slipped. It's also possible Kamara made a business decision after he gained 2 on 4th and 5 and didn't even keep the drive alive. Which, that's to me, that suggests not anything about Kamara's character. That suggests that that team is like, get him out of here. Not Kamara, get Dennis Allen out of here.
And then we had the news yesterday, Tony Bennett, head coach at Virginia, after 15 seasons, stepping down. I'm sure you have theories here. It's funny. Gabe proposed to me. He said, do you think he timed this? You know, all these questions about why do this right before season begins? ACC media days were last week, and he shows up and answers questions like he's going to be the coach, and why do it now? And so Gabe was like, well, he did it now to screw the players. He did it now. I'm cynic, he said. I think he did it because if you'd wait till the last moment, it's really hard for the players to transfer, and he did it to screw over the players. And that's certainly within the realm of possibility, and I'll be interested to hear what your theory is. But I'll be honest, like, maybe I'm a sap. I kind of take it at face value. Now, did he do it? If he did it strategically, it was so his assistant would get the gig. It was so his assistant would. It wasn't to screw over. This is my view. But then again, maybe I just don't. Maybe I have too high opinion of people. You know, one way he's doing it to screw some people, and one way he's doing it to help somebody, right? And so I tend to think he was doing it to help somebody, and I think his real motivation was what everyone said yesterday. He doesn't want to coach college basketball, given the way that college basketball is. I suspect with Tony Bennett, if this were the world that existed 10 years ago, would Tony Bennett have walked away from college basketball? No. And by the way, Tony Bennett isn't even complaining about that. Tony Bennett, a week ago at the ACC Media Days, said, listen, no one has to whine about this stuff. The world is the way it is, and you have you can have a choice to make. You can either figure out how to do it in the world that is the way it is, or you can do what Jay Wright has done and what Nick Saban has done and what Coach K has done. You can say, I piled up enough money and I don't want to do it anymore. And he ended up saying, I've piled up enough money, I don't want to do it anymore. I think that was the fundamental motivation, was he didn't want to do it anymore. And I think the motivation for the timing was his longtime assistant now will at least, you know, be in line to get the gig.
Yeah, my gut reaction, because when we got the news on the show, so we were just reacting real time.
On the fly.
And to me, it's like, okay, well, this is either one of two things. This is either health-related, and when it came out that it wasn't health-related, and typically what you will also see is if someone does step down at a bad time and it's health-related, they don't maybe disclose that it's, hey, he has this condition or whatnot, but for concerns for health, he's retiring. And there'll be some type of notation.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I don't think it's this. So the thing that's interesting to me about the timing is Tony was talking about all these things last year. And remember right after they lost, was it Colorado State? Who did they play in the play-in? It was one of the worst basketball games I think I've ever watched start to finish that they played in Dayton. There was all this talk of, is that it? Because I think amongst people that cover UVA, they definitely thought retirement was very much on the table. And then he makes the decision he's not retiring and they're going to, you know, they're going to modernize and get up to date with the times. With the gift of hindsight, what I think he did was he brought Rob Sanchez back from Charlotte.
Charlotte, yep.
That's his longtime guy. And I think in this day and age, it's going to be a lot harder to just straight up tap your successor because these schools have good jobs now. And you owe it to yourself to open it up the job. I think what he said is, I'm going to fundraise. I'm going to get the NIL right. I'm going to get the roster right. And I'm going to hand it to Rob so that he has the best chance of keeping the job. Right. And I think that's the primary motivation. Do I think that, like, the byproduct is, hey, they committed to play for Tony Bennett? Maybe.
Oh, no. But he did kind of.
Right, but I also don't know, like, what if the guys really like Sanchez?
Yeah,
like,
I don't think being trapped at the University of Virginia is the worst thing in the world.
They haven't played a game yet.
The quote from last week from ACC Media Days, I got to call Jay Wright and see what he says, right? I've always said, When you're doing this, you're in this profession, whether you agree how it's going or not. You have to be true to yourself and really look at it and say, who am I? Can I operate how I want? And can it be successful enough? And you get to choose if you want to be a part of it or not. And when you feel it's time, like Jay did, like Coach K, maybe Saban, it's their choice. And you can sit here and complain and gripe, or you have a decision to make. Either you try to do it your way, or you get to make that decision. So I think Jay Wright probably foresaw where this is going. It'll be better whenever there's regulations. Is that 3 to 5 years away? Who knows? But if it's not, those are the decisions that every man has to make when it's his time. And so he made that decision. And whether it was he made it a week ago or he made it right after the season, as you're suggesting, I do think that is the fundamental reason for the decision is the way it has gone. And you could say all you want about the world that it is. We could all bemoan it. And I will admit, along with every coach, that it's absolute chaos and it is not a job I would want to have to recruit your players, not just every year. I mean, let's be honest. We used to talk about what's the advantage of pro versus college. Advantage of pro is you don't have to recruit your player. You know, now you've got to not just recruit your players every year, you have to recruit them every day. Yeah. I mean, we just saw a week ago a defensive back from Memphis entered the portal, you know?
I mean, coaches even talked about it. The threat of the red shirt.
And you can't recruit, you can't coach the same way. You're recruiting all the time. You're raising NIL money. Like all the headaches that you used to have and then layer on all these other headaches. Plus, you're in a world where you're piling up $10 million. How many coaches make more than... I mean, I'm astounded. In the American Athletic Conference, where every one of those football programs loses money, every one of those football programs loses money. Every coach but one, I think, makes more than $1 million a year.
Yeah,
and no, everyone's pouring that money down the toilet. It's not bringing in money to the university. Those football programs, including Memphis's, all lose money, and they're all making north of $1 million a year. So you're stacking up money, and if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. Larry Finch couldn't have just walked away and sat on his big pile of money.
Right.
Larry Finch.
A huge part of this is now the salaries have let these guys.
Yeah.
They've offered the opportunity. Like, hey, man, I can go do something else.
Larry, at the end of his career, and I don't have the exact number, but I've written it before, around $300,000 a year, which is nice living to make. But that's at the after all the coaching he'd done, legend that he is in Memphis, his apex of his salary was around $300,000 a year. Well, now you can be the worst coach in the world, and you could be making $1.5 million if you luck into a job.
Listen, I'm not pointing the finger at Stan Drayton because Temple's an awful football job. But there's a case to be made. $1.9 million to coach Temple.
$1.9 million.
I always love when people are like, "Who would want that job?" It's like
$1.9 million.
Right? Yeah,
it's crazy.
I'll go coach him up.
Crazy! What the East Carolina coach is making north of two or something? What's he making?
Houston, 2.457,
$2.5 million a year to coach at East Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So these are golden handcuffs, but they're not even handcuffs. You just make the money, you get fired, and then you sit on your
Listen,
ass.
I think he's a great coach. I'm still not sure how I feel about West Point paying their football coach $2.4 million.
The American military,
correct.
$2.4 million.
Is that taxpayer money?
We could buy at least two coffee makers for that.
Yeah.
And then here's the thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dang. It's only the fault of the NCAA. All you have to do is call these players employees and put them under contract, and you'll put an end to this. Boom. Boom. Done.
Well, and the conferences, the schools, everything.
Yeah, but until the leadership of – I have so little regard for the way college football is run. Jim Boeheim had a quote, and yesterday. He said, all we're interested in is making the most money we can.
Also, shout out to Boeheim's agent or whatnot. Whenever they started listing all the coaches that retired – for NIL, Boeheim's name slipped in there. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Right. He got retired. Right. There's a difference.
Anyway, in the end, there's a way to fix this, but they don't want to fix it. And so there you have it. All right. We're going to take a break, talk to Jason Smith when we return. Over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they're having a 47th anniversary sale. How about that? It was 47 years ago. They were located in New York. Came down to Memphis and said, you know what? Let's throw in with this community. And since then, nearly 50 years of making people happy in Memphis. So if you're choosing where to go buy a diamond ring, maybe choose the one that stuck around and stuck around and stuck around and stuck around and stuck around. And there's a reason they stick around, because they have things like the meant to be guarantee, where you buy your loose diamond custom-made engagement ring from Robert Irwin Jewelers. You have 365 days to return it. And right now, during the 47th anniversary sale, massive savings on engagement rings, wedding bands, diamond earrings, diamond pendants, gemstone jewelry, gold chains, bracelets. Walk in and see for yourself. They've got convenient locations around Memphis. They have another in Little Rock. I go to the one right across from Novel on Perkins Extended. You can check them out online at rijewelers.com. Jason Smith, when we return, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined by Jason Smith. Jason and John every day from 11 till 2, although Jason's been doing the heavy lifting himself this week. All this on the eve of your birthday. I don't know how we got an email about your birthday, Jason, in advance of your birthday. How about that?
You know, I think that the station does a very good job, right, of acknowledging each other's birthdays. We've done that now for a while. I remember Barron, used to send one around, and I think we've continued the tradition. So I appreciated the birthday email we got.
How do you feel about birthdays now? For
Don't bother me. Let me have a day
Will you eat cake?
Probably not.
Not cake.
I'll be taken to dinner. I'll be wined and.
But do you know where you're going?
Really, just dined. I don't wine anymore. No, I don't. I don't. Last year we went to Wolf River Brisket. Had a good time there. It was our first. We like to try new things sometimes on my birthday. Had a split. Nice. Really had a good time there because it was casual. The food was good, and I'm eager to see where my wife will take me tonight. Okay. Jeff, I want to tell you something.
Yes.
I want to flip this.
Yeah, go ahead. I do that to you all the time when you have me on your show, so it's fair. Fair game.
I want you to know how you inspire me. I want you to know that as I sat there the other night at the 2024 Memphis Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony and watched you and Wolo just MC that thing, you up there looking splendid in your Oak Hall, you guys doing what you do. It inspired me. It inspired me. And I want you to know, and Jeff, get the applause button ready if it's working. It inspired me. I want you to know that tonight I'm going to be hosting the New Hope Elementary Father-Son Sports Trivia Night at my son's school. Now, I highly doubt I will do it as well as you. And it kind of shows the different levels we're at. You know, you a really a Hall of Famer doing, you know, emceeing a Hall of Fame induction ceremony and me hosting a father-son sports trivia at an elementary school. But I want you to know that I'm going to try to do it as well as you did it the other night, man. I was in awe as usual, man. It just all comes so easy to you. So great job the other night. And I thought, as usual, you were just so splendidly dressed at these things now. It's glorious.
I look better than I used to look. That is definitely true,
yes,
and that is because of O'Call. So do you have to come up with the trivia questions yourself?
Oh, they asked me. They asked, they're very kind to ask me whether or not I wanted to do that, and I said no. I said no. I want you guys to do the questions as little work for me as possible, and so I can't even – no, I didn't. So did you work on bios, or did you just get to read them? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm hoping that okay.
I don't think you should have to come up with the trivia questions yourself.
Yeah,
I didn't
want to be accused of, favoritism or anything like that either.
The
too hard a question.
It's interesting, public speaking. Like that thing last night, two nights ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, Wednesday night.
For me and Wolo, it's really easy lifting because we're not really, like – I think if you're MC, you make the introductory remarks, you make the closing remarks, you do the person, probably going to have, like, I think that's a tough job. At the thing that we did, Kevin Kane introduces, says goodbye. All we do is say a few sentences about each person.
Well, you keep it moving. I do try to make
those things thoughtful. The few sentences that
exactly.
I say, that's what I, and that I wrote myself. It is funny though. Like as much as I talk, because I talk here and then I do whatever. I talk to Optimist Clubs and Rotary Clubs.
You're everywhere.
And I talk. But when I have over at Church Health, they do this annual retreat. And they asked me to be the keynote speaker at their annual retreat.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And what they said was, we'd like you to talk for 50 minutes. I'm like, what are you? You got to be. I can't stand up and talk for. I ended up talking for about 30 minutes, but I sweated. Like, it is interesting. We talk. You talk here for 2 hours a day, and you don't. You're not sweating about each show for 2 weeks. You couldn't, right? I don't either. But when you're standing up in front of a group of 200 people, and it's just you talking for, I can sweat over that thing and. I mean, in the end, you want to look comfortable and like it's natural, but it's only because you've thought about it so hard, know exactly what you're going to say, practiced it a million times. Public speaking's hard, and the hard part is to make it look easy. Honestly, that's the hard part.
That part is the skill, and the key is preparation.
You're so smooth, though.
And reps, but I do this, dude. My hands start sweating before Bible study in front of 9 kids every Wednesday night. I mean, I don't know. Just because I've got to feel right. What am I gonna say? It's that part right there. And to your point, Jeff, it always gets done. Typically, you come away feeling pretty good about the job you did. But I don't know what it is. I'm not speaking in front of a room of 200 like you are regularly. But maybe it's that. Okay, can you do it? And there is a, you know, so long as you're prepping everything else, I still get nervous, man. And I'm 40, about to be 48 years old. But I think what I've come to grips with is that's a good thing. That means you want to do well.
Absolutely.
That means you're going to take this very seriously. And I think, you know, you do that and things usually end up okay.
So in terms of since you brought it up, in terms of the Hall of Fame thing, the other night I was really inspired by two people, particularly.
Interesting.
Lots.
Okay.
But,
which two?
Well, Ken Bennett is just, Ken Bennett was very funny. Ken Bennett said, he gets up there and he says, yeah, he said, you know, it's very humbling to be here and not humbling to get the award. He said, it's humbling because people would come up to me beforehand and say, so who are you here to watch? You know, like that was a great line. And Robert Newman gets up there and he's got a cane and he's walking very unsteadily.
Entire family,
helping him there.
Said everything.
And he said, he gets up there. He said, when I used to be able to dunk the ball. He said, now if a roach crosses in front of me, I say, yeah, you can go.
You got your way right here. That's it.
You go.
Yeah, not gonna play any defense. No, can't do it anymore.
But honestly, because both of those people, they've dedicated their lives to helping people. Like, it's just totally inspirational. And the way that they have literally, they're not just like, oh, I'll write a check once in a while, or I'll occasionally speak to a group. They literally have poured their lives into the biggest challenge facing the city, which is, you know, kids. And it is inspirational. Do you know Robert Newman? Did you, like, during your days as a prep writer, you covered him well, long time?
Yeah. I mean, he goes back. Zach McMillan was writing Robert Newman stories. I remember seeing Zach's byline on one of the Newman stories that was up there. And so, yeah, Newman was doing it long before me, and I got a chance to cover him. Everything that you said about him is what he is. He's done it for, and he kept talking about it too. Calkins, he talked about how much he still wants to help him, right? And how much the MLK is more than a basketball tournament. It's their way of pouring into Memphis's youth. And here's the thing about Ken Benedict Adams. I'm so glad that you brought him up. You know, he pointed out that when you guys were flashing pictures as we're introducing these 11 inductees, and you've got a roll of pictures, and, you know, Reggie White, you got pictures of him in his Philly days, and all these athletes, Andre Turner, of course, there's no shortage of photos. Well, with Ken Bennett, you know, we had to go through a loop.
He's only got two or three photos
on
loop.
The man is up there apologizing for us having to watch a loop of the same photos. Because why? Because Ken Bennett, what he does, it was never for photos. Right? He's not the professional athlete or the college basketball player that we all fell in love with. Ken Bennett was just helping some of those guys along the way. And, oh, by the way, helping, as you said, thousands and thousands of other Memphis youth who maybe they played a little basketball over at Streets Ministries, but they weren't going on to play in college and everything else. Those were kind of kids that were going to grow up and become adults in Memphis, Tennessee. And Ken was pouring God into them and praying to God that they would become responsible, good decision-making adults. And so that's the point, is that no one was taking pictures of Ken doing this, right? If there was a picture, it was of a youth group in him. And the funny thing was, you know, the Hall of Fame asked Ken for pictures. And so without a ton of them, Ken had asked me, "Man, can I get a couple of pictures with you over at New Hope? Because I have no pictures of myself." And this is the kind of salt of the earth dude that Ken Bennett is. And that's why this Memphis Sports Hall of Fame is so awesome, because we're not just acknowledging all of our sports heroes, but we're acknowledging folks that have done great things for the city of Memphis. Of course, it's sports community, but Ken Bennett's poured into everybody, thousands. And again, those that have gone on to become adults and decision makers now in this city. And so that's the best of Memphis. Jim Hines is the same. We mentioned Robert Newman. He's of that same sort of, you know, ilk breed. Jim Hines, same way, was just pouring into the young man that he was raising over at ECS. And when you're getting those guys in there too, those guys that didn't get the pictures necessarily, right? Because they weren't winning state titles. That's when you know you're doing a good thing. So I commend you guys, John, Stam, Ganazzo, you know, the guys that put in the work to say these folks need to be in that whole board, because it's great work that you're doing.
One of my favorite things was I was watching Tony and Zeebo listening to Robert Newman because they were laughing because he described how he grew up with sharing the bathtub with his brothers and learning what a shower was for the first time. It scared the hell out of him, the water coming out of the ceiling and the walls.
He came from nothing.
He came from nothing. And as he was talking, Zeebo and Tony are laughing like, yeah, this is us. Like, we get this completely. They come from different places, but they come from the same place. And I also, by the way, just to wrap this up, I really did get a sense of Memphis as a special place with the people in that room. I don't know. There was an affection for the city and the people who come from the city and in that room that I wish everyone who, you know, wonders about Memphis could have sampled, because it was kind of sweet, you know?
Exactly. And all the families were representative of that. And that's the thing about it, is that you've been, and I said it on my show, that next day, just getting to be a part of that and witnessing it, is that, you know, each person that went up there, all the 11 inductees, I mean, it was really all about their families, that it helped them get up there, right? Like, all of this greatness for all of these different men and women, you don't reach that level without this ton of sacrifice on the parts of the families. And I told Ken, you know, just sort of put the bow on it. I told Ken's daughter, I said, thank you for sharing your father with the city of Memphis, because right. obviously, just naturally, that's going to subtract time from his wife, Betty, Debbie, it's going to subtract time from his kids. And that's why, you know, you thank them all, especially ones that have poured in and just put service ahead of everything else, like a Ken Bennett.
Last thing, we got CBH MUS. Jeffrey's going to be calling the game tonight. You covered that, I presume, as a prep writer. And,
oh, yeah.
And this one's at CBHS. Jeffrey and I were talking about these teams aren't that great this year. And like MUS is a little down. I think CBH is a little down. Briarcrest is down. I don't know. Maybe you haven't thought about it. Would you have let Chris play football?
We've talked about it. He can do flag for now, and Lord knows, you know, I guess flag's going into the Olympics. I've told him, hey, you can kind of go far with this flag football thing, it looks like, these days. But no, we're not going to, at this point, let Chris put any pads on. I mean, the kid's built like a broom, just like his dad, who broke his collarbone out on a Snowden football field back in middle school, back in junior high. And so, no, it's not built for us. It's not so much,
It's the size kid you have.
Playing football. Yeah, it's the Smiths can't play football. We've tried and we've failed. And so, no, I'm not, you know, I mean, Chris has got kids in his fifth grade class that are huge. I've gone and watched because Gabe, Anthony Sain's son's over at St. Dominic, which feeds CBHS, one of the feeder schools. I've watched St. Dominic versus PDS, and I see that there's kids in the fifth and sixth grade that look like they should be eighth and ninth graders. So they're coming, bro. I mean, and believe me, they'll be at CBS, they'll be at MUS, and frankly, they'll probably be at Briarcrest and the other schools too. So, it's cyclical. Jeffrey knows it better than anybody. Those teams go up and down, and you've got this, what Jeffrey knows it, that MUS transition that's happening, where this is the first time in decades that you haven't had Rudolph or Bobby Alston out there. So there's a transition happening, even though we've only had four head coaches. Right, I mean, they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what I've always called them of high school football here in Memphis. Just in terms of you've only known, you know, a handful of men to lead the program, and so it's a transition period. Those teams will be back up, and yeah, man, it's a great. I thought you did a great job on the Clinton story. I covered Clinton, and that young man at the time I was covering him, obviously, and what was he, 40, Jeff?
He's 40,
40 when he passed
40, 40
away.
40 when he died.
He's still a young man.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about when he was in his teens, I was covering preps and getting a chance back then to freelance for the CA. So I've never met a more determined to get this done. I'm going to maximize. And I thought that's what your column summed up. So rather than focusing on, you know, what could happen or what's going to happen, I'm going to maximize every minute of every day. That dude oozed determination. And it was evident then. He was such a leader, and it was so odd to see that coming off of a young man so young back then. But there are those, and they stand out, and Derek Clinton always did. And man, you know, just
they'll
think
be
about
honor,
it.
They'll his be and, tonight. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it'll be a great thing, and that's the great thing about that rivalry. Now I know at one point it got real nasty, big brawl and everything, but those. There's so much respect out there. Even though you want to win and you're going to knock a block off, somebody's block off, there's respect in that rivalry. Derek Clinton embodied the best of it.
All right, Jason, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Happy early
Take
birthday.
Care, brother.
Yep, that's
thanks,
Jason
man.
Smith. Good luck tonight. NFL season continues this Sunday. No better place to get in on the action than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. And if you're a new user, you can get started with $300 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. Bills Titans put together a same game parlay. You know, the Titans actually surprisingly sprightly on defense. Like, don't blame the defense for their record. So I wonder a little
the
bit.
Roster's not that bad.
No, roster's not that bad. The quarterback's bad. Their quarterback's bad. Anyway, over at FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. And once again, if you're a new user, $300 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. FanDuel is, of course, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issues, non-withdrawable bonus bets. 6 to 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Chris Harrington next. He's got his NBA predictions column up. We'll talk about that and other things. And then Jeffrey's bets. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app